You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. Well, I guess the triple meltdown nuclear disaster at Fukushima, Japan, is all over. It must be. We're not hearing much about it, right? But as we're about to find out, the silence about the continuing horror in Japan is no accident. Robert Hunziker has some news even hardened Fukushima watchers missed. Robert's the freelance environmental journalist whose work is published all over the world. This latest article can be found in the online magazine Counterpunch on October 31st under the title Fukushima Cover-Up. Robert, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hi, Alex. Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
Good. I'm glad to have you here. Let's dive right into the cover-up you write about when the mainstream doesn't. I'd like to tell listeners that the Asahi Shinbun newspaper is like the New York Times of Japan, except Asahi has three times the circulation, over 7 million daily versus about 2 million for the New York Times. So, Robert, what happened at this huge daily newspaper in Japan when it comes to coverage of Fukushima?
Well, they were shut down. In fact, the year 2013 is the big cover-up year in Japan. That's when the Orwellian dream came true, and the land of the rising sun decided to go to 100% totalitarianism. Of course, Abe's administration came in the year before, in 2012. 2013 is the big cover-up year. They decided to put a cover on this entire nuclear disaster. And what happened with the Asahi Shimbun newspaper is that they had dedicated a staff of 30 journalists to cover the Fukushima nuclear disaster, and they were shut down in 2013. Now, they had written articles criticizing the state secrecy law. There are three things that happened in that year, 2013. That point in the direction of major cover-up. One is the shutdown of the journalistic team at Asahi Shimbun newspaper. Secondly, Japan passed a secrecy law, basically that says whatever an accuser claims to be secret is secret as long as there are bureaucrats that makes the claim. And as a matter of fact, taking it to a further extent, if you're a journalist and if you simply inquire about what's designated as a state secret, you could be subject to going to jail in Japan. The third thing that happened is that they were awarded the Olympics, which is the greatest cover ever for a major nuclear disaster, because it makes it appear to the world that, hey, everything's A-OK. Come on over, hundreds of thousands of people, to Fukushima, where, in fact, they plan on having some of the Olympic events, like baseball and soccer. And they'll be fed food from Fukushima. Fukushima was one of the great agricultural regions of Japan, by the way. Meanwhile, you've got an active nuclear plant that is active fission, atom splitting. It's not likely to ever be recovered. When I say never recovered, you have 600 tons of melted fuel from the three reactors that had total 100% meltdown. And according to Greg Jesko, who was the former head of the U.S. NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, it's not likely they will ever recover that. And nobody knows where the fuel is. So this is something that's very radioactive, and it will be for decades. So this is one of the biggest cover-ups of our lifetime. It's one of the biggest industrial disasters of our lifetime. There are going to be a lot of people who suffer. And, of course, another part of the cover-up, Alex, I've seen several articles in the Wall Street Journal, in the New York Times, in Forbes, where these pro-nuke writers talk about, well, there are no deaths. So maybe one death as a result of this meltdown. And they go on and on about how this really shows how safe nuclear power really is. Well, baloney. I have several contacts I know of in Japan who gainsay that. The mayor of Futaba, and I've written about this several times. In fact, I would recommend to your listeners that they read an article that I published, had published in September of 2015. The title of it is The Fukushima Fix. The Fukushima Fix. That is a very thorough article that goes into a lot of what we're talking about. But in terms of deaths in Japan, there have been many. The mayor of Futaba, which is one of the cities in the Fukushima area that was evacuated, actually made a public statement at one point that many people are dying and his own government is lying about it. There's a Buddhist temple not too far from the Fukushima nuclear disaster. There's a monk there named Kinoshita, and he has cremated ashes, several ashes of workers from the Fukushima plant. And of course, what happens at the Fukushima plant is that TEPCO, which is Tokyo Electric Power Company, doesn't report deaths of workers. And they say there haven't been any. Well, the reason they do that is twofold. One is that they use subcontractors to do all the cleanup work. Well, the subcontractors are not obligated to report the deaths on behalf of TEPCO. Secondly, the second thing that happens is if you're a worker and if you've been zapped by way too much radiation, if you get radiation illness, do you think you're well enough to go to work before you die, to die at the work site? No, you're not. You're in bed suffering, and that's when you die, and they don't report it. A journalist, independent journalist in Japan named Meiko Ashidori, who I've had contact with, interviewed a nurse who resigned from TEPCO. And that nurse told her that there have been many, many deaths of workers at the plant that are not reported. Now, it's interesting, going back to the Orwellian dream that's being realized here in the land of the rising sun, Meiko Ashidori of Free Press Corporation in Japan was interviewed in Germany about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And one of the things she said really struck me. She said, there's one thing that really surprises me here in Europe. It's the fact that people here think Japan is a very democratic and free country. Well, it's not. It's a totalitarian state that has been put together over the last couple of years to hide the biggest disaster in human history. I wrote an article about a gentleman, speaking of deaths as a result of this, named Dr. Josh Parks. And the title of the article, and the article was in June of 2015, title of the article is Dr. Josh Parks' Courage at Fukushima. He was a missionary, and he had worked for decades in Japan with the indigent people in the streets and helping people out. He actually set up a street chapel for the homeless, in fact, and revered among the people that they're homeless people in Japan. And he and his partner immediately went to help when Fukushima took place. He passed away from cancer, as did his partner a couple of years ago, and I wrote a memorial to him, and that's the article I just referred to. So this is a ongoing disaster that is not going to quit during our lifetime, and it's going to have unbelievable impact for years and years. You know, Alex, in that article that you mentioned at the top of this show about my most recent, the Fukushima cover-up article, I intentionally put two paragraphs at the end of that article that I think will really ring a bell with people. And it talks about Chernobyl because, you know, Chernobyl happened 30 years ago. And I thought it was fascinating that the USA Today newspaper on April the 17th of this year had an article entitled Chernobyl's Legacy, Kids with Bodies Ravaged by Disaster. Kids with Bodies Ravaged by Disaster. And what they said in that article is that there are about 2.4 million people today in the Ukraine that they're registered with the health ministry to receive ongoing Chernobyl-related health care. And of those 2.5 million people, nearly 500,000, actually it's 453,000, are children, none of them born at the time of the accident. Their parents were children in 1986. And these children have a range of illnesses: respiratory, digestive, musculoskeletal, eye diseases, blood diseases, cancer, congenital malformations, all kinds of abnormalities. And here you have a newspaper, USA Today, which is considered kind of a neutral magazine. I don't know if they have a real political bent to them or not, but they typically aren't political. And they put out that article. That, to me, tells the whole story.
Well, you know, we've heard about that from Dr. Helen Caldicott. We've had her on the show. She's talked about transgenerational damage of nuclear exposure, and there were put-downs and catcalls from official experts in several countries. And the thing is, you know, we know it's basic science. It's taught in every biology class that radiation causes transgenerational damage to fruit flies, to animals, but somehow the Japanese want us to believe that humans are exempt.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah, isn't that amazing? One of the saddest things, too, Alex, is that they're prematurely. They're going in and they're going ahead and they're having people that had evacuated move back in. And what the Abe government's done is when they evacuated 160,000 people from that greater area around Fukushima, they did provide compensation to those people. Well, now they're saying as soon as the cleanup is finished in your area, your compensation stops. So now you're with your family that had to leave 5 years ago, go live in a schoolhouse or wherever it was, abandoned from your home. Now they're not going to give you compensation any longer. Your whole life has been upset, and they're going to move you back into an area where they say that it's been cleaned up. Well, I'm here to tell everybody who's listening, those areas are not decontaminated the way they say they are. And how do I know that? I know that because of Greenpeace. And I suggest a film that people can go to on YouTube. It's called Fukushima Living with Disaster. Fukushima Living with Disaster. If you put that into YouTube, you'll see about a 20-minute film that actually shows in real time radiation tests taking place by Greenpeace workers in Japan in areas where the Japanese government claims that it's been decontaminated and that people can move back in. And there are hotspots all over the place. The other problem, Alex, with the whole Fukushima area is it's a myth that the government can go in and clean this up. They've got 30, 40,000 workers who've gone out and tried, and you've got to give them credit for making an effort, but they've taken topsoil and put it into these one-ton black bags. They've got enough black bags full of this contaminated soil that could extend end-to-end from Los Angeles to Tokyo, and they've only got about half the job done, but yet the job they've done is not complete at any rate. There are hot spots everywhere. 60% of Fukushima is forest, mountains, hills, valleys, meadows. None of that has been touched, and that all runs back onto the contaminated areas over time. The other thing that's just been recently uncovered that is really a disaster, there are 10 major dams in Fukushima that provide the water supply for agriculture and drinking. And they have discovered at the bottom of those dams extraordinarily high levels of cesium-137, which is one of the isotopes that's produced when you have nuclear fission. Cesium-137 is a million times more poisonous than anything you can think of. 1 gram, which is about the size of a dime, of cesium-137 spread evenly over 1 mile, 1 square mile, will make that uninhabitable for 100 years, 1 gram. Now, at the bottom of these dams, very bottom of the dams, it has accumulated, and the readings are, in some instances, 30,000, some instances, 70,000 becquerels per kilogram. Drinking water standards in Japan now are 200 becquerels of radioactivity per kilogram, and here you've got 30,000, 60,000. Now, what the authorities have decided is that at the very top water level of these dams, it's a lower amount. So they're continuing to use it for both drinking water and for agriculture. They should shut down that entire area the same as Chernobyl did. Chernobyl has a 1,000 square mile prohibited region that's going to be shut down for maybe hundreds of years. So it's a story that hasn't stopped. It's not in the news. It hasn't stopped, and it only gets worse because they cannot locate a major meltdown, the corium that's sizzling hot, and that puts out isotopes that can actually, if it burrows through, if it has burrowed through the containment vessels and into the earth, I don't think anyone knows what will happen. We've never had this happen before in the history of humankind. This whole thing's an experiment, and they're playing with fire. And here you've got a totalitarian government now that's playing with people's lives.
Well, why don't we talk about what's going on at the Fukushima site? Back in May, you wrote an article for Counterpunch, reported by Zed Magazine as well, saying Fukushima flunks decontamination. They've got these tanks, and then they've put in more tanks, and then hundreds more tanks, all full of radioactive water that they've supposedly filtered. I don't know what they're doing with the filters, because they're really reconstituted interiors of nuclear power plants. What's happening with all of that? Is it flowing into the Pacific yet?
Well, they did put up an ice wall. They tried to put up an ice wall that surrounded the facilities, claiming that they could stop it from flowing into the ocean, but the ice wall's failing now. So, no, they haven't been able to stop that. That's another historic event that's taking place. The amount of radioactive water that has gone into the Pacific over the last 5 years is just unimaginable. It's humankind's never seen anything like this happen before. What are the consequences going to be? You know, there's a lot of speculation about that. And I think one of the really strange coincidences, Alex, is that even though you've got organizations like Woods Hole Oceanography here in the United States, which is highly respected in terms of evaluating the quality and quantity of what's in the ocean, for example, they take tests all the time. They're saying that we don't have dangerous levels of radiation in the Pacific Ocean around the West Coast, is what they're saying. On the other hand, I think it's really a strange coincidence that you had so many animal deaths in the Pacific over the last few years. Whales and all kinds of, you've had starfish that have been melting, and strange things are happening in the Pacific Ocean. So it really makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does. Now, as you mentioned, pretty soon we're going to hear all the tourist hype and national promotions for the 2020 Summer Olympic Games in Japan. They're slated for Tokyo, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But surely somebody is joking when they propose to hold some events in the radioactive city of Fukushima. Who suggested what, Robert?
Well, let me just say this. When the announcement was made that the 2020 Olympics would be held in Tokyo, Nature magazine put out an editorial, and let me just read to you one short paragraph in their announcement on the heels of that Olympic award to Japan. Why would any sane organization vote to host a global event that brings hundreds of thousands of people to a location just a short distance away from a collapsing nuclear power plant that is utterly and completely out of control with no end in sight? When I first read that, I thought, if anything's ever really going to stick with me about the upcoming Olympics, that's it. And that's what should really be broadcast to people, because who put them up to the Olympic thing? I think it's all a charade. It's a cover to try to make it look like, gee, this thing's really not that harmful. It's not that dangerous, and we've got it cleaned up, on and on. And I think there's a consortium involved here of the U.S., I'm guessing, the U.S. authorities on nuclear power in Japan, and certainly the Abe government, and also the Olympic Committee. Why would the Olympic Committee select Tokyo, who bid $5 billion for the Olympics, when Istanbul bid $20 billion for the same Olympics? There is, by the way, an ongoing investigation in France by some prosecutors of funds that were paid to some parties somehow related to the Olympic Committee, and I don't know much more about it than that. But it looks like it's just part of the big cover-up, and that's what it really, I think it really is. And it's a sad, sad tale, because you're going to have Olympians and tourists from the United States and elsewhere around the world, France, Germany, you name it, that are going to the Olympics, assuming everything is well. How can everything be well when they have three 100% meltdowns and they don't even know where the cores are located yet and what's happening, and they can't even get close to those buildings or they'll get fried? It's just unbelievable. It's really hard to accept this.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with American freelance journalist Robert Hunziker. You know, Robert, I recorded so much of what happened right from the first day of that so-called accident. I put out an emergency podcast that day. I recorded all sorts of TV stuff, all sorts of radio and print. It's all on my hard drives. And there's no doubt in my mind, and plenty of records to show, that Tokyo itself was showered with radioactive material, which lodged itself in the underwater world of Tokyo. People don't know much of that city is built on reclaimed land from the sea, and there's all sorts of little waterways under it. And after that dousing, the hills around and the waterways flowing into Tokyo were periodically replenished with doses of radioactivity following the seasonal rains. And I'll bet that's still happening. But as you say, with official secrecy and a docile press, we'll never know.
That's right. And you know, there are people, Alex, of real stature in Japan who are adamantly opposed to what's happening. For example, former Prime Minister Koizumi, who was one of the most popular prime ministers ever in the early 2001-2007 period. He held a press conference just about a month and a half ago where he said that Prime Minister Abe lied to the Olympic Committee. Koizumi is against nuclear power in Japan. Prime Minister Kan, who was the prime minister when the event happened, has spoken out against more nuclear power. We've got to get rid of nuclear power. Ambassador Murata in Japan has been leading the effort to get the Olympics out of Japan. We can't have them when we have this disaster in our backyard. So it's kind of interesting. There are some lone wolves out there, but they're people of high stature saying, get rid of it. We cannot. And, you know, the country has done okay without nuclear power for 5 years, hasn't it?
It has. It's been doing pretty well. Now, I noticed that the Japanese have just announced in October that they're giving up on their breeding reactor at Monju. That's another multi-billion dollar nuclear mistake. It was supposed to make plutonium fuel for Japanese reactors, and in fact, reactor number 3 at Fukushima was burning this MOX fuel that was laced with plutonium. And did you know, Robert, that after reactor number 3 blew sky high one day, we can all watch the footage of that in 2011, plutonium was found loose on the reactor grounds and even outside the plant facility.
Oh, my word. This is really, it's such a scandalous situation, Alex. And you know, the thing is, it just doesn't seem to ring true with people because I think they don't want to face up to it or something. I don't know quite what it is, but they're getting away with murder. They really are. And you have to wonder about the character of the world's leadership when these kind of things happen, don't you?
I do. And I think this is one of two big reasons why humans really can't use nuclear power. And one of them is our attention span's about 30 seconds. While plutonium's dangerous for at least 500,000 years, there's no civilization even come close to 1,000 or 2,000 years, much less that length of time. But the other thing is the very thing that we began with, the need for secrecy in authoritarian governments. Governments that develop nuclear power need an authoritarian core to protect the plants and a strong army, and that expands into a big loss of transparency. I mean, Robert, what do you think would happen if you or I go down to a public road in the United States, we set up a camera, and we just sit there for a couple of hours taking pictures of a nuclear power plant?
You'll be investigated as fast as you can click your fingers.
You bet. There'll be people around in black cars. We'll go on some kind of list. Maybe we're on some kind of list right now for talking about it. It's come to the point where environmentalists have been labeled terrorists, partly in order to protect the nuclear industry. And so when we criticize the nuclear industry, we're really bad guys. We're unpatriotic. But look at what happened to Japan. The country is going bankrupt for a lot of reasons, not just nuclear power, but that certainly added fuel to that fire of how badly they are financially in Japan.
Well, they're very badly in bad shape in Japan. I wrote an article about this for the World Financial Review out of London last January, talking about the challenges in Japan on two fronts. One is the nuclear disaster itself, and secondly is their fiscal status. Their debt to GDP is 200%. We're at 100%. Their debt situation is worse than Greece's, by the way. But what's happened is, with this new quantitative easing that the central bankers have discovered, they're now eating themselves. Their central bank has purchased over half of their government debt, and they'll just keep doing it. And I don't know where that ends up. But they're on two slippery slopes, one on a fiscal basis, and the country could go broke. They really could. In fact, The Economist wrote an article about this about a year ago, about the danger of Japan going bankrupt. So two slippery slopes. One is they could go bankrupt. Secondly, unless their central bank can just buy all their bonds, I guess maybe they'll do that, and who knows where that ends up. And secondly is they have three China syndromes on their hands where they have total nuclear meltdown and they don't know what to do about it. How could things be any worse for the Olympics in 2020 than that?
Good times for all. Do you have sources you'd like to pass on for listeners who want to keep track of the ongoing Fukushima nuclear disaster?
Well, I'm not real active in that regard, but I do have, I'm on Facebook, Robert Hunziker, and then also Twitter at Robert_Hunziker. The last name spelled H-U-N-Z-I-K-E-R. And when I publish articles, I put them on those sites. So far, I've published about 22 articles over the last year and a half on this situation. And I'm going to continue to stay with it because, Alex, I've developed some really, really good sources in Japan that I communicate with that I think give me good information. I think it has to be out there.
I'll get some links in my own show blog at ecoshock.info so listeners will be able to find you and find your articles. We've been talking about another cover-up of the nuclear disaster that is Fukushima, Japan. Our guest is Robert Hunziker. I've read his green investigative reporting all over the net, and it's published all over the world. Robert, thank you so much for joining us on Radio EcoShock.
Thanks, Alex, and I'm so pleased you're exposing this.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.